We put up some chairs, folding chairs, in the showroom of our cabinet shop, and it's been a long time ago now, it seems like, praise God. And on Wednesday nights, I had, you know, it seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit to teach on the subject of prayer. New church, just beginning, be important for us to not only pray, but to pray effectively. And so I taught that first Wednesday night on prayer. Then the next Wednesday night, I had a sermon ready to go on prayer. And the Lord led me, I think it was just in my daily Bible reading, to John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And this was where Jesus' earthly ministry began, where he turned the water into wine. And the Lord really began to speak to me from those 11 verses. And it was just really, I call it hot off the press. Amen. I mean, it was like just some really good revelation and things. And I thought, okay, Lord, it, you know, seems like you're leading me to preach on this tonight. So my full intention was to preach on from John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, that particular Wednesday night. And the next Wednesday night, go back to the subject of prayer. And so I preached. And then the next Wednesday, again, the Lord led me back to John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. And for those of you who were around in those days, you know that the Lord led me back to John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11 for the next 3 years on Wednesday night. We preached 162 sermons from those 11 verses. And there's a lot there. I won't get started down that road, or I won't get stopped. Amen on that. So, well, I bring that up this morning because as of last night, I had fully intended to go back to where we were 2 Sundays ago. And it seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit, and I had all the notes ready to go. And I woke up this morning, and one of the first things the Lord spoke to me this morning is that he wanted me to stand in this pulpit today and to declare 2025 as a year of serving. 2025, a year of serving. Now, I'm just be perfectly honest with you, as honest as I, amen. And I always want to be perfectly honest with you. It's like when somebody says, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. So that means you've been lying to me up until now, you know. So, but when I say perfectly, maybe I should say transparent. Okay, this was never on my radar until early this morning. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, but I know by now, thank God, when the Lord's speaking to me, and so I agreed. And got out of bed and I grabbed my iPhone, and just things he started speaking to me, I started, as I've shared with you in the past, you know, I started dictating those things into my phone, and one thought led to another, which led to another, which led to another, which led to another. And eventually all those thoughts came back to where we left off 2 weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. And so this would be a new branch off of an existing year-long study, but it is related. It is connected. And although we may not share the title of our series for 2024 on Sunday mornings every time we speak, the underlying theme has been breaking free from a darkened understanding. We have covered that so many different ways. And we're not done with that, by the way. But when the Lord spoke to me this morning to declare 2025 a year of serving, he began to show me how, if we will make this a year of serving, that is one of the most fundamental and practical ways that we have of breaking free from a darkened understanding. Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. So what I want to show you, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself this morning, is how Jesus served his way to his destiny. Amen. Jesus served his way to the fulfillment of his purpose and destiny. Would Jesus have ever accomplished what God put him on this earth to accomplish without serving, or apart from serving? Serving others, serving his father by serving others. No. Every step of and every act of service that Jesus performed for someone else was one more step taken on the pathway to fulfillment of his reason for being here on planet Earth. And so I'm excited about this, really, really excited about this. And I'm looking forward to, I know we'll be here this week, and more than likely we'll be back on this same subject next week. And I tell myself that and you that, so I won't feel pressure to try to cram everything in. I want us to take our time and walk our way through this. Now, one of the first thoughts that I said when the Lord spoke to me about declaring 2025 a year of serving, you know, sometimes we have themes for the year, sometimes we don't. Amen. But, you know, people get excited when you stand in the pulpit and say, 2025 will be a year of increase. You know, I know it rhymed, but, days like 2007, days like heaven, for 2007, you know, and it's like, yeah, man, bring it on, Pastor. Tell us more about that, right? You know, we kind of get stirred up about those kinds of themes for a year. But I'm telling you, this one may not be as exhilarating to you when you first hear it, but there's some meat and taters here that will change your life. As a matter of fact, one of the things that the Lord asked me is, consider this. What would happen if we committed ourselves to serving for the next 365 days? In other words, where would you be this time a year from now? Amen. If you commit yourself to serving God and others daily for the next 365 days. Amen. I don't believe folks would recognize us or you or me. Amen. Are you following me? Why is that? It's because transformation is experienced in our lives through serving. Amen. Serving produces things in our lives that cannot be produced any other way. Amen. And again, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm just trying to get you, stir up some of your interest. Amen. There's a lot of places we've been trying to get to in life that we will never get to apart from learning to serve. Amen. Again, Jesus's path to his destiny was marked by serving others. Every act or step of service was a step towards the fulfillment of his God-given purpose and destiny. Amen. So again, I am, as your servant leader this morning, declaring 2025 as a year of serving, and I want you to be excited about that. Amen. All right. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 through 14. Now, again, I've got at least two sermons just on this passage. I'm not going to try to preach or teach those this morning. That's what I thought I would be preaching and teaching today. But let's go here as a place to begin. And the scriptures say, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food." So what are we seeing here? First of all, we're seeing people who have been born again and have been in the church, attending church, faithful to church, a part of the church for at least many years, because they've been a part of the church and a part of the body of Christ long enough to be serving, teaching, and leading other people. But notice, they still need someone to serve, teach, and lead them, okay? And he goes on to explain, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And that word "babe" there is the word on our new t-shirts, nepios, okay? Doesn't mean a baby like offspring. It means one who has a darkened understanding. So they're still seeing like someone. They're still understanding like someone who has not been born again, even though they have been. And remember, your life reality, your behavior will always line up with your understanding, even if what you understand and how you understand, how you see things is wrong. Amen. So we see then that these folks are in need of milk and not solid food. But notice, and this is a key word in verse 13, is the word unskilled. He didn't say they were unlearned or unknowledgeable. He said they were unskilled. Skill and knowledge are different, right? Skill implies, guess what, doing. Skill implies effort. Skill implies trying. Skill implies that you've taken something that you've heard, and now you're going to begin the process of applying it to your life until it becomes a skill. Amen. Prayer is a skill. You can get better at it. You can become more effective at it. Are you following me? Giving is a skill. Generosity is a skill. We can learn, and sadly, so many of God's people, they have so much knowledge of God's word, but they have it in principle or theory only. And it's never become a skill. It's never become a pattern of life or living for them. Amen. And so notice, because of this, it's kept these people in a state of immaturity. It's kept them in a state where their understanding is darkened. So much so that despite having been present when the basic principles of the oracles of God have been presented over and over and over and over again, they still can't see them. Notice, they need somebody to teach them again the basics. Well, how many times have they heard the basics? How many times have the basics been presented and taught to them, and yet their understanding is darkened? It has not yet affected the way they see things. Remember, this was where Jesus became the most, I don't know the right word, pointed, heated, intense with his disciples. Not when they would do silly things or dumb things. It was when they had a lack of perception or a lack of understanding. This was when do you still not understand? Do you still not see it? How is it, he would even ask, after all that you've experienced, the miracles that have been performed in front of you, the miracles you participated in, how is it that you still do not understand? How is it that you still see like someone who always is going to come up short instead of someone who's always going to experience the blessing and the provision of God in their lives? So this is what's going on with these people. And notice, it's not because of a lack of hearing or a lack of knowledge. It was because of a lack of skill. He goes on to say, verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use. And so there we go again, taking what you know and doing something with it. Taking what you know and doing something with it. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To discern both good and evil. All right. So, let's get into this. Amen. 2025, we're declaring it to be a year of serving. Amen. A year of serving. And I want you to think of it in some ways as an experiment. Amen. As an experiment. In other words, what would happen? What would your life be like? What would this church be like? What would our families be like? What would our marriages be like if we committed ourselves to serving for the next 365 days? Now, the scriptures are clear. I could take you through all these scriptures. We find them in 1 John primarily, and of course, from the lips of Jesus himself. But we know that we love God by loving other people. You cannot effectively love God and not at the same time love other people. So we love God by loving others. One of the primary ways that we express our love to God is by expressing our love to other people. And in the same way, the scriptures teach that we serve God by serving others. We serve God by serving others. There are a lot of people who want to love God but not have anything to do with other people. There's a lot of people who want to serve God but don't want to have anything to do with other people. Are you following me? That it doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, it's an impossibility. You cannot love God whom you can't see if you do not love your brother who you can see. And you cannot serve God whom you cannot see if you do not serve your brother whom you do see. Well, again, we've got scriptures on this from the lips of Jesus, and we could go, again, we could spend two Sundays just on this one portion of scripture alone. And so I hope I'm not going too fast for you, but I'm wanting you to see some bigger pictures and bigger pieces. And as we drill down into this in the days to come, maybe we'll spend a little more time with some of these. But in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, Jesus speaking, he says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And of course, Jesus is talking about all kinds of acts of service, providing clothing for people, visiting people in the hospital when they're sick, visiting people in prison, all these different things that we could do for other people and express love and acts of service and kindness and ministry to other people. Jesus, notice that word assuredly, assuredly. Anytime Jesus says assuredly, he's preparing you and me for something that's going to seem extreme or maybe not right. And so when he says assuredly, Jesus is saying, brace yourself. What I'm telling you is 100% accurate. Okay. I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Amen. So this is the power of serving. When we serve other people, Jesus receives that as an act of service done for him personally. Amen. We see this in the book of Acts when he corrected Saul and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not why are you mistreating my believers? Why are you persecuting my disciples or my followers? No, no. Why are you persecuting me? What was Saul doing? Saul was singling out individual born again believers and having them arrested, having them punished, even having them executed. But notice Jesus didn't see it as something being done to a third party, but something being done to him personally. Well, we see it in the same, but it's the other side of the coin in Matthew 25 and 45. Then he will answer saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And I think it's important that we see both of these verses connected with one another. It's not just that if you do it for Jesus, if you do it for somebody else, you do it for Jesus. But if you don't do it for somebody else, Jesus is okay with that. In other words, an act of service to someone else is received as an act of service by Jesus personally, but a refusal to serve someone else is also seen by Jesus as a refusal to do it for him personally. Amen. Are you with me? So that's strong, but we need strong. Amen. That's truth, and that's strong truth, but we need strong truth. So when we talk about serving God for 365 days and by serving God and serving others for 365 days, we'll get to this in just a moment, but serving begins with a mindset, and I'm going to show you this in the scriptures. It begins with a mindset, and one of the most and simple ways that we can develop that mindset is by making this question a regular part of our daily lives. Amen. How can I help? How can I help? Okay, just that simple. How can I help? Who can I help? Amen. And listen to me, please, in case you're thinking that this series is going to end with some kind of recruitment process for you to sign up for some kind of job here at Heritage, just go ahead and take a deep breath, okay? We're not talking about only serving on Sundays. I didn't say serve 52 days a year. 365. Come on now. 365. Come on now. Father said a year of serving. What would our lives look like 365 days from now if we made serving a priority for those 365 days? Amen. So we're not just talking about doing something here or doing something extra here. We're talking about making serving others a lifestyle. Amen. And that lifestyle begins with asking a simple question. How can I help? What can I do to help somebody else? Who can I help? Who needs my help? What do I have to offer somebody else that I can do for somebody else, that I can give to somebody else, that I can say to somebody else that will make a difference in their lives? Here's an extended version of that same question. What can I do today to make someone else's life better, easier, more enjoyable? What can I do today, come on now, to make somebody else's life better, easier, more enjoyable? Let me tell you where this needs to begin. Could I tell you where this needs to begin? It needs to begin under your own roof. It needs to begin in your own house. Amen. Listen to me. We're going to get to this, and I'll show it to you in the scriptures here in just a moment. But the greatest servant of all is Jesus. No one served more or better than he did, and he's the head of all things. So if the head of all things is a servant, any position under the head of all things is also a position of serving. Are you following me? Praise God. That means head of household is a position of serving. That means husband is a position of serving. That means wife is a position of serving. That means father is a position of serving. That means mother is a position of serving. That means pastor is a position of serving. That means manager is a position of serving. That means director is a position of serving. That means CEO is a position of serving. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. One of the problems that we have in our marriages is we keep wondering why our spouse won't serve us. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is the challenge now. This is the experiment. How different will your marriage be if you wake up? Listen to me, men. I'm talking to men right now. Men, how different will your life and your home and your marriage be if you woke up every morning of 2025, starting today? So get a head start, right? Asking this question, what can I do today to make my life, my wife's life better? What can I do today to make my children's life better, easier, and more enjoyable? Ooh, I'm feeling some anointing on this, Brother Donald. Come on now. What can I do today before I go to work this morning? Are you hearing me? I'm not bragging. I'm just giving an example here. Okay, this is on my mind, right? So I rarely, if ever, do laundry at my house. Okay, I'm learning. I don't mind doing it. Please, I don't mind doing it. It's just, you know how the duties kind of fall. You know what I'm saying? You know, Pam rarely, if ever, cuts grass. I'm not just sitting about tit for tat. I'm just saying. Okay, all right. Okay, but Pam's not feeling well either. She's healed and blessed. Amen. She's dealing with some things in her body and just sick. You know, overcoming it. Praise God. And she had put clothes in last night before we went to bed, and now. Yeah, I don't know if this way at your house, but if you put some of my clothes in the dryer, you might as well give them to the foundry because they're not going to fit me anymore. They're going to shrink. I mean, I'm right on that edge, right? You know, everything shrinking and not fit me anymore. And I heard her say, "Oh man, I got to get those clothes hung up in the laundry in the washing machine." Right. So I could do it in a suit, Vanessa. I actually hung wet clothes up in a suit coat. It took me about 10 minutes. But what did it do? It made her morning a little easier. It was simple. So simple. So simple, but it made her morning a little more enjoyable, right? She's not feeling good. Her mother is really sick in the hospital. She's got to go up there. She wants to be here. Are you following me? That's when I'm talking about a year of serving, I'm talking about that kind of stuff. But let me tell you what that kind of stuff's going to do. That kind of stuff's going to lead you to bigger stuff. Are you following me? It's going to open the door because each act of service is deeper in my notes, but each act of service is a step on a pathway towards your greater purpose and destiny. Amen. And a lot of people are wondering why, you know, Pastor Mark, you're always talking about God bringing us this place in life we can't get to on our own. See, there's faith gets you there. There's a lot of things that get you there. Trust gets you there, right? But serving, we've tried to get to these places in our purpose and destiny in life by making serving optional. And there's places serving will take you that nothing else can substitute for that. Nothing else can take its place. So if you're not willing to serve, that means you're going to live a life with a self-imposed ceiling that God never intended for you. That He never intended for you. Okay? So what can I do today to make someone else's life better, easier, more enjoyable? Okay? Well, now listen to me, please. All right? I'm reluctant at this point to start giving specific examples because a lot of times we hear these things and we tend to lock on to ones that are the most convenient or easiest for us, okay? But let's not leave out of these acts of service words of encouragement. Anybody in here just hate it when somebody gives you a word of encouragement? Anybody in here like, I wish they would quit giving me compliments. If one more person tells me my new haircut looks nice, I'm going to scream. No, see, no one said that ever. Right? Guess what? If those things make your day a little easier and a little more enjoyable, amen? Somebody said, Pastor Mark, you sound like Joel Osteen right now. Well, thank you for the compliment. I don't consider that to be, amen. Then that's something simple. Something we can say to somebody else. Something we can go out of our way. Right? Notice our way. That's what our problem, right? We're so locked into our way in order to do something for somebody else. We got to go out of our way to do it. Well, guess what? Getting out of your way of doing things is one of the best things you could do in life. Getting out of your way into God's way, right? So go out of your way and stay out of your way and stay out of God's way. Sweet Jesus. All right. What can I do today to make someone else's life better, easier, more enjoyable? Come on now, let's get creative with it. Let's get creative with it. This is what I envision for this year. I envision for this year, you sharing some of your stories, amen, with us. Creative ways that the Lord has shown you. The Bible says provoke one another to good works. I hope I just provoke some men to help their wives with some laundry one day. Amen. Are you hearing me? Praise God. If Pastor Mark can do it, I guess I can do it too, right? Amen. Okay. Somebody said, sounds like a recipe for people to take advantage of you. Do we still not take advantage of Jesus? This idea of, well, people take advantage of you if you live your life. Again, let's do an experiment and see what happens. If 10,000 people take advantage of us in 2025, for most of our lives, we've protected against that. Right? Well, look at where that's got us. Are you with me? I heard Pastor Bill Winston preaching the other day. Man, he can sometimes just break it down so simple, right? He said, if you've been trying to get to Mississippi for 40 years and you've been traveling the same road and you ain't there yet, maybe you need to try a different road. Right? If you've been trying to change some things in your life and marriage for years and years and years, maybe you need to try a different approach. Well, she don't respect me, Pastor Mark. Well, give her something to respect. Sweet Jesus, help us, Lord. All right. Well, if I just do that, then she'll just walk all over me. She'll just... you've been trying to protect yourself from that for all these years, and look at where that's got you. Let's do something different. Let's do something different. Amen? I've never understood men wanting to go to bed with a woman they spent the whole day tearing down. Build her up. Encourage her. Well, she don't encourage me. Help us, Jesus. All right. What can I do today to make someone else's life better, easier, more enjoyable? And let me remind you too, by the way, even if the person in your life has all kinds of inward issues and they reject that and don't appreciate that and don't, first of all, the Bible says we do it as unto the Lord. We love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself, right? Are you with me? Amen. Okay. Yes. Okay. We do it as unto the Lord. And then what did he say? If you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So even if the people you're trying to serve and help don't appreciate it, don't respect it, don't even say thank you, right? It's not wasted. It's not wasted. And I'm not trying, because selfishness is one of our problems, and serving helps us overcome the problem of selfishness. Listen to me, please, all right? So I'm not trying to turn this back around as do something for somebody else because you're really doing something for yourself when you do it for somebody else. I'm not trying, that's not, but there's no separating the two. Again, when we commit ourselves to serving other people, it opens up our eyes to things. It enables us to experience things and enjoy things in our life reality that nothing else will do, okay? Now, again, I haven't even got past the introduction yet, but let's keep going here. So, two questions then. I hope you're writing these down. You'll hear them again, I'm sure, from me. But so we need to start our day by asking, how can I serve others today? And then we need to end our day by asking the question, who did I serve today? Are you following me? Right? This is how we develop a serving others mindset. Because you have to take some kind of measurement. Are you following me? If it's gonna become a part of your lifestyle, this is two of the simplest ways that I know how to do it. Is start your day by, how can I serve somebody else today? Who can I help today? Who can I make their life more enjoyable today? What can I, right? Listen, make a list. You got a smartphone, most of you. Amen. Write it down. Today I'm going to do this for this person. I'm going to say this to this person. You know, she's been having a hard time. I'm going to encourage her today. I mean, be deliberate and intentional about it, right? Then at the end of the day, kind of evaluate yourself. Okay, now I'm supposed to be serving people and God and others 365 days. So here's, this is Tuesday, February the 4th or whatever day February the 4th is, right? Let's see how we did. Who did I serve today? Man, you know, I went through a whole day today without serving somebody. Amen, right? You still with me? All right, let's look at some scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25, 26, 27, and 28. Jesus speaking to his disciples and to us, but Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Now, we've talked a little bit in here about the difference between a servant and a slave. They're different levels or degrees of commitment or servitude. So a servant would be obviously someone who serves. This may be a hired servant or something along those lines. A slave is someone who's actually, their will's been altogether consumed by another person. They're actually owned. We're talking about doulos now, ownership, okay? So Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, be a servant. And if you want to be even greater than that, then be like a slave. Now, I know this flies in the face of what we've been studying this year because, you know, the Bible says we're no longer slaves. We've got to lose that slave mentality. Well, stay with me. I don't know if I have time to explain all that this morning. But the combination that is most pleasing and most beneficial to God and pleasing to Him and beneficial to you and me begins with knowing that you're a son and choosing to serve. Okay? Knowing that you're a son in right standing with God the Father, not based upon anything you've done, ever will do, or ever could do. Something you've been made, something you were born to be when you were born a second time, all right? So it's when you know who you are and you know the love that God has for you, and in that position you choose. The Bible says Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew who he was. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Are you following me? There is a huge difference. Listen to me, please. There is a huge difference between serving to be loved versus serving because you know you are loved. There are a lot of people who are trying to serve God so that God will accept them. That does not please God, because God has already loved us and accepted us and sent Jesus to die for us while we were yet sinners. If he died for us while we were sinners and his death has made us one with God, how much more now will we be saved by his life? Amen. We could go on and on and on down that road. I know for many years in my life, I tried to serve God so that he would love me. And then I realized that there's no way he could love me any more, any less than he loves me right now. And then there was this significant shift in my life where I went from serving God so that I would be accepted versus serving God because I knew that I was. Amen. And so Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. And yet in that understanding, he chose to serve. Praise God. Okay. So this is a choice. This is a choice. The level of humility with which you live your life is a choice. Are you following me? God loves everybody, but he only honors those who honor him. God gives grace to everybody, but he gives more grace to those who are humble. Are you with me? Okay. So the amount of grace that we experience and enjoy in our lives, obviously it comes from God, but there is something we can do to experience more of God's help and ability to help others in our lives. Amen. And that is this spectrum of humility. So the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest and who will be first and who will sit on Jesus' right hand and who will be on his left hand. And notice when Jesus came into this conversation, he did not rebuke them for desiring to be great, but instead he told them how to be great. Are you listening to me, please? Some of you are dropping out on me. It's 11:34. We still got a few minutes. Can you stay with me a few more minutes? Okay. He didn't rebuke them for desiring to be great. Why? Because God put greatness in every one of us. Amen. He didn't rebuke them for desiring to be great. He told them how to be great. And how to be great in the kingdom, in God's eyes, and in this world, and in life, as it was meant to be lived, is completely different than the way the world views greatness and how to be great and how to be first. All right? All right. So whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus didn't wake up every morning looking for somebody to serve him. Come on now. He did not wake up every morning looking for somebody to serve him. He woke up every morning looking for somebody to serve. He woke up every morning looking for somebody to help. He woke up every morning looking for somebody who had a problem they couldn't solve so he could solve it for them. Do you see the difference here, right? This is where the sweet spot of life is found. It's a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to many in the body of Christ, because on the surface, from our carnal mindedness, this seems like misery. This seems like inconvenience. This seems like drudgery. This seems hard. This seems difficult. This seems life draining, when the reality of it is it's not life draining. It's life giving. Well, we see this thought expounded upon a little more in Luke chapter 22. So I'm going to pull that verse up now. Luke 22, verse 24. Now, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors." Okay? We could say beneficiaries, okay? They benefit from. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves the table? Is it not he who sits at the table? And the world says the one who sits at the table is greater than the servant serving the table. Yet I am among you as the one who serves. See the difference there, right? You're sitting there at the table, big fat cat, you know, people serving, bringing food and all this other stuff, right? Well, it seems like the guy that's being served is greater and more important than the person who's doing the serving. And that's the way the world looks at it. But that's not how the kingdom looks at it. Are you with me? So this idea behind a benefactor, this means, this will change your life if you get a hold of this. A benefactor, this means they viewed other people existing for their benefit. A benefactor. Jesus said this is the mindset of the world. This is the way leaders in the world think. They view everybody else as existing to serve them. They view everybody else as existing to help them. They view everybody else as existing for their benefit. Okay? Did Jesus come to this earth looking at everybody else as existing for his benefit, or did he come to this earth seeing himself as existing for our benefit? Do you see the difference here, right? Do other people exist for your benefit, or do you exist for their benefit? Does your wife exist for your benefit, or do you exist for her benefit? Do your children exist for your benefit, or do you exist for their benefit? Are you following me? Does your employer exist for your benefit, or do you exist for their benefit? Do the people who work under you exist for your benefit to make you look good, or do you exist for their benefit to make them look good? Are you trying to figure out how to get them to do things that will get you a promotion, or are you figuring out what you can do to equip them to get them a promotion? Are you seeing the difference here? Do other people exist for your benefit, or do you exist for their benefit? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. It's very, very easy in the world in which we live. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you go with the way the world sees things and the way the world treats people and the way the world looks at things, the world sees everybody else existing around them for their benefit. Getting quiet up in here. That's okay. Amen. And for the record, this is how Pam and I have really tried from day one to pastor this church. Are you following me? Even in the early days of this church, no one received any kind of salary. Cabinet business paid all the bills. Cabinet business didn't see the church as existing for the business's benefit. The business existed for the church's benefit. Are you following me? There's a big difference there. Hallelujah. All right, let me give you one more rather lengthy passage, but I really could have started with this passage this morning. It's that important in all of this. It's Philippians chapter 2, and it begins at verse number 1. And we're going to go through verse 11, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. We probably will not have time to comment on all of this, but we'll come back to it next week, okay? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, is there consolation in Christ? Man, yes, indeed. It's kind of like when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul in Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, he's talking about, if God's ever done anything for you, then listen to this. If he's ever shown you mercy, then I'm beseeching you based upon those mercies. Okay? If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, and there is more fellowship than we can understand, more affection and mercy than we can comprehend, more comfort and love, and there's all these things exist in otherworldly proportion. Okay? He says, if based upon these things, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now he's going to give us practical instructions as to how that can become a reality. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's huge right there. He's not saying that your interests aren't important. He's saying that your interests should not override the interests of other people. You should not consider your interests to be of more importance, a higher priority than someone else's interests. Are you hearing me? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That word let in the original language perhaps would be better translated allow. Allow. Let it be, allow it to be. It's like when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He's saying, do not allow your heart to be troubled. Now he's saying, again, because we're the gatekeeper of our own mind, right? That we can either allow a certain mindset in and to develop and become established in us, or we can, with the Holy Spirit's help and the Holy Word of God's help, we can allow and let another mindset to be developed in, or we could say understanding. See, this is where the understanding part ties in. Let this mind, this way of looking at things, this way of understanding things, this way of approaching life, the thought that precedes action, let this mind, allow this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus modeled this for us. He lived this for us, okay? Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. Amen. Let this mind be in you. If you can allow this mind, then you can disallow it. If you can let this mind, then you can refuse to let this mind. Are you following me? That's why serving begins with a mindset. Serving begins with a mindset. And if we've learned anything this year from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we've learned that our mindset impacts our life reality, impacts our life reality as born again believers more than any other thing. Amen. Somebody can be born again and not understand salvation and the new birth and experience little to no change in their life reality, even though everything has changed in their being, right? Okay. So a mindset that says my goal for 2025 is to serve 365 days. Amen. Back to Romans 12. Transformation. That word there is metamorphou in the Greek. Metamorphosis. He's talking about experiencing in your life reality the transformation that's already occurred in your born-again spirit by the renewing of our minds, by the reconditioning of our minds. Our minds have been conditioned to see other people as existing for our benefit. Our minds have been conditioned to not think in terms of who can I help, but who can I get to help me. Not in terms of what can I do to make somebody else's life more enjoyable, but why won't they do what I need and want them to do to make my life more enjoyable? Are you following me? Our minds have been conditioned to think like that. And again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the more we think like that, that's producing what we're experiencing in our life reality, right? And so if we want what we're experiencing in our life reality to change, we've got to let the Holy Spirit help us change the mindset that's producing that. So serving then begins with a mindset. Now, I'm going to finish here this morning, but I really started to lead with this because this is really, really important, okay? And I know some folks disagree with me on this, but read your Bible. Amen. God wrote a book and he put answers in there for us. Okay. All right. You do not have to serve God or anyone else to go to heaven. Getting quiet. But that's the truth. He made it very clear by grace through faith, right? We're saved. And then he emphasizes, not of works. Not of works. Lest anyone should boast and brag about, look at what I've done. Okay? So to be clear, when we talk about fulfilling your purpose and destiny in life, your purpose and destiny in life is what God decided for you when he wrote a book about your life before you ever lived a single day of it. He put you on this earth for a reason, to fulfill a specific purpose, to do specific things. Amen. And the sweet spot of life, the greatest pleasures and enjoyment and satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment in life, is when we are fulfilling the purpose, the reason for which we exist. How do we find that purpose? How do we fulfill that destiny? My friend, every act of service takes you deeper and closer and more and more into it. You can't get there. You can't find it or discover it any other way. Amen. So you do not have to serve God or anyone else to go to heaven. Your righteousness is not based upon works, but your rewards are. Your rewards are. Okay? Now, we cover this extensively in discipleship class. I'll mention it here as we close this morning. If we talk about physical growth and development, never been a young lady, never will be. I'm a young man, okay? Amen. Or I was a young man, I'm an older man now. Amen. Thank you, I received that, Joseph. Amen. Amen. I'm sure it's true with the ladies just like it's true with the men. Okay? But you will only grow and develop so far in life by everybody else doing for you. Amen. In other words, there is growth and development and maturity and character building. All of those intangibles that are so important. Amen. That a young man or a young woman will never have in their life as long as everybody serves them and they serve no one else. As long as everybody else does for them and they never do for anybody else. Right? At some point we have to learn how to pick the food up and put it in our mouths. At some point we have to learn how to use a fork. And that's been one of the hardest things for me with my grandchildren. Right? I enjoy feeding them. I enjoy being with them, right? And they take it and they get it to their mouth and they drop it and I'm like, let me help you, darling. Okay, if I put that food in their mouth and never let them do it themselves. Right? Are you following me? In order for them to grow and develop, they have to begin to do things for themselves. Amen. If you let somebody else do all your praying for you, if you let somebody else do all your studying for you, if you let somebody else do all your learning for you and then teach it, you follow what I'm saying? You're only going to grow so far. At some point, you have to learn how to get the Bible in your lap and fix yourself a meal and feed yourself with it. Amen? Are you following me? Okay. But then the next progression is where we're not just doing it for ourselves, but now we're doing it for somebody else. If somebody always does it for you, you're only going to grow so far. If you only learn how to do it for yourself and never do for anybody else, you're only going to grow so far. But if you want to go to that higher level in life, in growth and development, maturity, character, all these other things, then you're going to have to get beyond yourself and start doing things for other people. Are you following me? Somebody asked me when Pam and I got married, you know, did you feel some overwhelming sense of responsibility? I hear men talk about that and they take a wife, you know, they feel like, oh, you know, so stuff. I really didn't. I mean, we worked together. We were young. We were having a good time and Chick-fil-A and serving in the church and just living in Vanessa's parents' garage apartment and eating steak and shrimp three nights a week, and just you know, $300 a month included everything but the phone. I mean, we were, you know, we had it going on. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay. 5 years later, I held this little girl in my hand named Bethany in my arms, right? Dude, that's when life got real for me anyway. Not that it wasn't real before, but you understand what I mean. I'm like, ooh, wow. What just happened? The responsibility burden just increased in my life. Right? Are you following me? I never saw Pam as, I do love her and I'm responsible for it. It's not that, but I just saw her as a partner. We were partners. You know what I'm saying? And we were working together. We were paying bills together. We, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I've got a wife now. What am I going to do? You know, had a wife and couldn't keep her, whatever. Peter Piper, what's that? You know what I'm talking about? That nursery rhyme or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Well, none of that for me. None of that for me. But when it got real was when I held Bethany. See, now all of a sudden somebody else, I'm responsible for somebody else. Right, and this little human unit can't even put food in her mouth. I mean, she's got. You see what I'm saying, right? And guess what? I grew. I developed. It helped me become more of a man. Because it placed a demand on my potential. I didn't run from that. Thank God. I asked the Lord to help me, and He did, and He has, and continues to do so. And guess what? Because of that, I have grown in ways. I'd never embarrass anybody, but I, you know, have a dear friend that he and his wife recently, I say recently, it's been several years ago now, they didn't have children, and so they adopted a son. And I have watched him grow and develop and mature more in the years since he adopted that young boy than I ever saw him grow before that. Are you following me? Why? It's because now he's not just living for him and his wife. They're not just on this, you know, 17-year honeymoon or whatever, like Pam and I on a 5-year honeymoon. You know what I'm saying? It's more going on now. Are you following me? Am I boring you? Am I trying to bore you? Okay. Because it placed a demand on our potential to do more, to be more, to understand more, to live more. Amen. And we responded to that. This same effect is what serving other people has on us spiritually. Stand with me this morning. It's the same effect that serving others has on us spiritually. Now all of a sudden, it's not just, you know, it's not, you know, what can I do to help somebody else today? How can I make somebody else's life easier, more enjoyable versus waking up in the morning going, okay, what can I do for myself today? What am I going to do today? What do I want to do today? How am I going to get more of what I want today? See, again, me, my, I. Amen. Serving other people will help turn that. And when that turns in your soul, the life that's in your born-again spirit now flows more freely. It's like the valve, right? When that valve of your soul is turned to self and selfishness, it shuts it off. When it's turned to God and others and the truth, it allows all that's in you, the love that the Holy Spirit's pouring out in you for others, to flow through you. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this? So 2025, it's a year of serving. I pray that it's landing in your heart the way it's landed in mine. Amen. It's stirring me up big time, stirring me up big time. Amen? You ready to make that commitment? You ready to do that? Amen? All right, Father, as we stand before you this morning, we want to say thank you for loving us enough to correct us and to help us and to teach us, to speak to us, Father. Lord, you know, and I believe these people here believe me when I say this. Lord, I didn't see any of this coming until this morning, early this morning. I fully intended to stand in this pulpit and preach a sermon you gave me 3 weeks ago, Father. But Lord, this is your word for us, and I'm convinced of that. I wouldn't be standing here saying it if I wasn't convinced of that, that you want this family of faith, individually, families, and the entire family of faith, to commit ourselves to 2025 as a year of serving. A year of serving. Serving you, serving others, serving you by serving others. And Father, I thank you that it's going to begin in our own homes. Father, that dads and husbands, moms and wives, sons and daughters, we begin to see their role in the family in a new light. That we're not just here to be served. Even the children, even the younger children, Father. Lord, help these moms and dads who who do everything for their kids and don't place any demand on their potential to serve or do chores around the house. Lord, that's not good for the family. It's not good for the individual. And so, Lord, that we would begin to see every position as a serving position. No matter what the title may be, it could be president, it could be CEO. Lord, that we see that as a position of serving other people, and that whatever authority and resources are at our disposal in some of these upper tier positions, Lord, that that authority and those resources are just to better help us serve other people. And so, Lord, we thank you that we're anointed problem solvers, just like Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to solve people's problems. We've been anointed by the Holy Spirit to solve people's problems, and that you're helping us, Lord, help others and showing us how to help and to do it more effectively. And we're not going to despise small beginnings. But Lord, we're going to start with simple things, and we're going to increase from there. And I believe, Father, a year from now that we'll be a different family than we are now, more like you than ever before. Thank you, Lord, for 2024. We look forward to a new year in 2025. We thank you, Lord, for a smooth transition of leadership in our government. We thank you, Father, for President Trump. We believe, Father, that he is a man who doesn't see the United States and the citizens of this country as existing for him, but that he sees his role as the new leader, incoming leader of our nation, as him existing, Lord, to serve, Lord, a man who turns down the salary for the position because he got plenty of money, Lord, that speaks a lot to me personally. I don't know about those listening to me right now, Father. It says to me that he's not in this for the money, but Lord, he's in this because he loves you and he loves this country and he loves the people of this country and he wants better for this country. And so I thank you for helping him. I thank you for guiding him and surrounding him with people who know you, godly men and women who know you, to help him, Lord, continue to make this country the lighthouse, the city on a hill that it's been for the cause of your kingdom around the world for now for many, many years. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Happy New Year to you and yours. We love you. Praise God. Grab you a t-shirt if there's some sizes left that fit you. If not, put your name and a shirt size down and we'll get you some in the days ahead. Know that you're loved. Know that Jesus is Lord. Good things.